If you were raised in church, you probably have a picture of the prophetic as that which happens during a meeting. But I don't think that that's any more than 5% of the prophetic, and I think it's actually less than that. The prophetic is a way that we function. It's a way that we think. It's a way that we see. It's the way that we communicate to people.
Hi, I'm Eric Johnson, a pastor and leader here at Bethel in Redding, California. I'm excited to introduce our new series of episodes on the prophetic. One of our core values at Bethel is that God is still speaking. Scripture calls us to earnestly desire the gift of prophecy, which simply means hearing God's voice and declaring it for the benefit of others. Over the next several weeks, we'll be discussing different areas of the prophetic, like the prophetic culture and values, how to live in the prophetic, and the posture for prophecy, and a whole lot more. I pray you'll be encouraged and strengthened in your faith as you learn to hear the Father's voice and discover your God-given purpose and value. And if you're looking to go even deeper on the topic of prophecy, I encourage you to check out our Bethel Revival resources. Blessings on you this week, and thank you for watching Heaven to Earth.
Numbers 11, let's get into the word here. Verse 24, we're gonna read a number of verses here. Verse 24, Moses went out, told the people the words of the Lord. He gathered 70 men of the elders of the people, placed them around the tabernacle. The tabernacle is where the presence of God was manifest. So they surrounded the presence. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, although they never did so again. Verse 26, two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, the name of the other was Medad. The spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. Let me stop there just for a moment. I love this part of the story because it shows what happens when you are covenantally related and connected to other people, is you actually receive what they receive. There's an inheritance that is actually not just given to individuals, but is actually given to families. We've got 70 guys surrounding the tabernacle. There's two that for some reason didn't get the memo. They didn't show up. The Spirit of God falls upon the 70. They begin to prophesy, and yet back at camp, simultaneously, these two guys begin to prophesy under the same anointing. Yeah. Why? I don't understand how this works, but I love that it does. The fact that you can be in relationship with people, and when they get a breakthrough, their breakthrough is yours. There's something about connecting with people in accountability, in relationship, in pursuit of the same things. It doesn't give us the liberty to withdraw and to be careless in not associating, but it does mean that for the spouse of the student in school of ministry that isn't able to attend the meetings, something's happening in your life that is equal to the one who sits in the class every day receiving the impartation prayer. There's something about the relationship that makes you, qualifies you to receive the same thing, even though you're not in the room. Verse 29, and Moses said to them, are you zealous for my sake? I'm sorry, verse 28. Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of the choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Make them stop prophesying. Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? It's another way of saying, it's not about me. Well, they're crowding in on my gift. It's not about you. Is that the Lord is represented well in powerfully anointed people. And whether it's your time to stand on the stage or it's somebody else's, or it's your moment to lay hands on a person, or you're the support person for somebody else, it doesn't matter. As long as the function gets done, as long as the miracle takes place, as long as the breakthrough comes, as long as God is exalted, the tools that he uses will always vary. And we celebrate that God is being exalted through his means, not that we got to be at the center of the story. Moses says, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that the Lord's people Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord had put his spirit upon them. Here's something to recognize. In the Old Testament, whenever you see somebody where the Spirit of God comes upon them, it is almost always, if not always, evident in them speaking the word of the Lord. The prophetic comes through them. In other words, the sign of the fullness of the Spirit of God on a person's life in Old Testament context was prophecy. I think it's for that reason, Paul, when he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, he says, lustfully pursue all the gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. If you were raised in church, you probably have a picture of the prophetic as that which happens during a meeting. But I don't think that that's any more than 5% of the prophetic, and I think it's actually less than that. The prophetic is a way that we function. It's a way that we think. It's a way that we see. It's the way that we communicate to people. It doesn't need to proceed or end with, thus saith the Lord. It is speaking a timely word in a given situation. And if the word is from him, it will bear fruit in their life, and they in turn will give God the glory. It doesn't have to come with religious trappings. It just needs to be released. When we release the word of the Lord, it alters and changes environments. And we are in a season where we need desperately prophetic people to bring clarity to what's happening in the world. We need it desperately because both the political spirit and the religious spirit are vying for your affections. And whenever there's influence from either of those two realms, there is the word of the Lord becomes diluted and distorted. And the Lord is wanting a clear word, a precise word, an empowering word to come to the cities and to the nations of the world. The point is that to be a prophetically discerning people, we have to be able to recognize the difference between the true prophetic anointing and the counterfeit, which is suspicious, it's agenda-driven, and it moves in the spirit of offense. Is one of the biggest challenges in life is to not pick up the offenses of the people you love and serve. It's really hard. It's really hard. If you give yourself to the poor, it's very hard to not be offended at the rich. And the depth at which we get to go in the anointing to impact the course of history and affect culture is in many ways determined by how well we can navigate this thing without being offended. That's the truth. Isaiah 59, verse 21 of Isaiah 59. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forever. Please notice again the correlation between the Spirit of God coming upon people and the word of the Lord being in their mouth. The evidence that the Spirit of God is resting upon us as a people, as a tribe, as a family, must be, you know how much I love the healing, the miracles, the deliverance, all those things. It must be that from our mouth comes the word of the Lord. Jesus set a standard when he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. Think about this. If there's anybody that ever walked the earth that probably would have some pretty good ideas on his own, it would probably be Jesus. But he was unwilling to come up with anything of his own. The Gospel of John says, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. He who speaks from himself, in other words, it all originates with me, seeks his own glory. In other words, us unwilling to tap into what the Father is saying is a subtle way to move into self-promotion. Acts chapter 3, another real quick one. Verse 24 says, yes, all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This passage, Isaiah 59, was a passage given to the nation of Israel, but prophetically foretold the nation of the redeemed, which is the church. All right? But this one is clearly to the body of Christ. If you miss 59, this one for certain is to the body of Christ, in which he says, you are the sons of the prophets. You are the daughters of the prophets. Why is that important? Because of the covenant established that I will put my word in your mouth, in your descendants' mouth, and in your descendants' descendants' mouth. The whole point is that a distinguishing feature of being in the tribe of God, who is carrying his heartbeat into the earth as it has put his spirit upon us, manifested by every generation being able to carry and declare the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 3 says, you're the sons, you're the daughters of the prophets. In other words, you have an inheritance. It's important for us to know what inheritance is. It's important for us to discover what God says about us, because you're not going to write a check if you don't think you have the money in the bank. You're not going to withdraw from identity if you don't realize it exists. You're not going to live from something that is far above everything you could imagine unless he reveals that's who you are. Once you realize who you are, your posture changes. It's not arrogant. It's not self-centered. It's not even self-confidence. It's a confidence in who God has pronounced you to be. And God says, you are the sons, the daughters of the prophets. Because of that, you're in line for an inheritance to carry the Spirit of God and the Word of the Lord. They are one and the same. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So the presence of God is the same as the voice of God. Whenever you sense the presence, the voice is in the presence. Whenever you hear the voice represents the face.
Right now, Chris Vallotton's four-part CD series, Leaning into the Prophetic, is yours in thanks for any gift of support to TBN. And for a gift of $75 or more, we'll also send you the series, We Are All Prophetic, life-giving messages on DVD to help you hear God's voice and declare his truth, plus the powerful book, School of the Prophets, by best-selling author Chris Vallotton. Call or go online now to share a gift and request these powerful resources on the prophetic and how the Lord is leading you to impact your community.
The Lord spoke to me really strongly that I want you to do at coding school, and I'll take care of the job if you follow through. After Bethel Tech, I got the call to come out here to the Bay Area and start my apprenticeship with IBM. And the Lord wants to do what he did with Daniel. He wants to put his kids that carry his spirit into the most influential places in the world.
Now, let's get back to the verse I really want, Isaiah 51, verse 12. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die, of the Son of Man who will be made like grass? What is he dealing with here? He's confronting the fear of man. I had people come to me, if I ever talk about this subject, people will line up and ask me to pray for them to be freed from the fear of man, which I do. But there is one basic cure for the fear of man. It's called the fear of God. Yeah. You can't fear both. It's just repent. Confess the sin of the fear of man. I'm not trying to do shame, guilt. I'm not interested in that. But I am interested in people being free from the fear of man. Yeah. And turning from the fear of man to the fear of God is just, it's just a short step. It's just a short step. You turn from one to the other. And here's what he says following. This is actually where I wanted to go. So verse 15 says, I am the Lord your God who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. Verse 16, and I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth and say to Zion, you are my people. Listen carefully to this. I've put my spirit upon you. I put my words in your mouth. I put my spirit upon you. I've covered you with my hand. Yeah. This is interesting. The Lord protects what he blesses. Do you remember this passage that says, and his favor surrounds me like a shield? That's because he protects what he blesses. He doesn't bless and then leave it to be devoured. Opposite. He blesses and then he surrounds with protection. So here we have the Lord saying, all right, I'm the one who put my word in your mouth. And what did he do then? I put my hand over you. I've covered you with the shadow of my hand that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. New American Standard says to establish the heavens. The word establish there, I looked it up in the New American Standard Study Bible. To establish the heavens actually means to plant. So I want you to think with me. I've put my words in your mouth. I've covered you with the shadow of my hand because I want through you to plant the heavens and build solid foundations on the earth. This is an Old Testament warm-up for on earth as it is in heaven. He's revealing process. He's revealing the tool that he uses to release the reality of one world to rest upon the reality of another. He says, I'm going to build strong foundations here, and then I'm going to plant that world where there's strong foundations. How is it done? Through decree. I have put my words in your mouth. I've covered you with the shadow of my hand that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. Jesus talked about the prophets and the spiritual fathers of the Old Testament that long to see what we see. I'd like to suggest to you that out of the ache of his heart, Moses was prophesying about the day that you and I live in, where all the people of God would be carrying prophetic anointing that is not, number one, self-serving. Number two, it is not to expose and tear down. In this hour, it is to call out destiny. We've watched this now for years where somebody will be caught up in a lie. Maybe they believed about their whole life. In fact, we see this happen often now to people who don't even know the Lord. They don't even know the Lord. And one of you will come along and just call out the gold in their life. And it completely changes them. It changes their entire life. Why? Because they've got this lie that they bought into for a lifetime, and somebody comes with one word of truth, and it completely changes their identity, where they start living from a different place. They repent, they turn from this unto this, embracing what God has said about them. Every person in this room, the Lord has declared strong things, powerful things, positive things, corrective things, adjusting words. All these things have been declared over every one of us. And when we hear them, when we embrace them, they empower us to make changes that are impossible otherwise. And the Lord is inviting us into being a people that hear the voice of the Lord. If there's anything that is mocked in the earth right now, it's that you could actually hear God's voice. It's mocked. It's mocked openly. It's mocked. And I believe, simply leaning in, every one of us have had the experience where we just randomly called a friend and come to find out it was the exact moment of crisis and they needed help. And we didn't know. I mean, it wasn't this thundering voice. It wasn't, Bill, call this number. You know, it wasn't that thing. It wasn't a number appears on the wall and you punch that number out and you talk to a friend. It's not that. It's not that. It's the subtle leaning into a lifestyle of the presence of God, the Spirit of God, and you find yourself day after day after day bringing the word of the Lord where till it becomes a lifestyle where you think his thoughts, you declare his words, and it's not the strain and the effort of, trying to hear from God. I don't hear well when I try. I don't hear good at all when I try. You know what I do? Sometimes in healing meetings, when I'm in other places, sometimes we're in a healing meeting, During worship, I will sneak around and find people that need a miracle and pray for them then, because I know that if we wait till the official time to be healed, they'll try too hard. And faith is not, does not become effort, evident through effort. Hearing from God does not come through effort. It comes through surrender. Faith is the product of yieldedness. It's not the product of, I'm determined to live for the glory of God. Yeah, sweat all you want. As soon as you get exhausted, you'll hear from God. As soon as you finally say, I'm done, then he speaks. Why? Because if he speaks when you are striving with effort, he will only reaffirm flesh and carnality and not the genuineness of who you are in Christ. So, let me read this verse again. It says, I've put my words in your mouth. I've covered you with the shadow of my hand that I might plant the heavens and lay foundations on the earth. And say to Zion, you are my people. I didn't prepare ahead of time to find this verse, and I apologize for that, but there's a great verse in Job where Job talks about him declaring a word, and it puts a mark on someone for God to strike. It's like he throws out the word, and the Lord is attracted to that word. It's actually the concept that we find in Ephesians 4, where he says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, which is a great standard for all prophetic people. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only a word that's good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it might give grace to those who hear. What is grace? It's divine favor. Think with me. Only speak edifying words that it might give grace. What is grace? Divine favor. You choose who to encourage, and your word of encouragement is something that God approves of, and he pours favor into the person you've chosen to encourage. Grace. It's the same concept. You put the word there. You come to somebody you do business with, a neighbor. You just go over, you just encourage them. You just give them an encouraging word. You just tell them, this is what I see God doing in your life. It's a beautiful thing. Or I just want to encourage you. You're so gifted in this area. What are you doing? You're just planting a word. And God is going, put favor right there. Put grace right there. Pour the grace in right there. Why? Because one of my own distributed a word of encouragement there. I've got to back it up. Why don't you stand? I want to pray for this prophetic anointing. You guys would laugh. You know how we started the prophetic in Weaverville years ago? There was zero prophetic. Zero. There wasn't a prophetic mouse. There wasn't a prophetic flea. There was zero when we moved there. So I'd get men, sit around a table, and I'd turn to the one on my right and say, if Jesus were to walk in the room right now, what do you think he'd say? And they'd go, oh, I think he'd say. And I'd go to the next one. We'd go all the way around the room. And after we got all the way around the room, I'd say, do you realize that you all just prophesied? And they're like, oh, is that easy? See, when you strive is when you miss it. Yeah. It's when you relax in who you are, abiding in presence, abiding in his voice, it becomes very natural to speak words that are life-giving. Put your hands in front of you. Let me pray for this prophetic anointing to be released. Lord, I do pray for that. I pray that you would increase the mantle of the prophetic. God, help us, help us, help us, help us, help us, help us to keep it pure, to keep it real, but to serve our city well. Thank you.
You may have just listened to this message and wondered, how do I hear God's voice? The truth is, all believers can hear God's voice. Because when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in us and guides us into all truth. If you have never accepted Christ, I want you to know that the Father loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. But brokenness and sin have separated us from him. God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross in our place so that our sins would be forgiven and we would get to spend eternity with God. If you're watching right now and you want to accept Christ and be able to hear his voice, then pray with me. Jesus, right now, I surrender my entire life to you. I ask you to forgive my sins and be my Lord and Savior. From this day on, I leave my old life behind to follow you. Guide me and lead me in your ways. Amen.
Prophecy is a gift of the Holy Spirit for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort of his people. In Chris Vallotton's four-part CD series, Leaning into the Prophetic, you'll learn how you can walk in this gift and what it looks like to influence the course of history through the prophetic. Right now, this series is yours, and thanks for any gift of support for the outreaches of TBN. And for a gift of $75 or more, you'll also receive the five-part series, We Are All Prophetic, life-giving messages on DVD to help you hear God's voice and declare his truth.
People can fail successfully, and part of that is a prophetic culture that when people fail, we remind them that that is not who they are.
Plus, the powerful book, School of the Prophets, by best-selling author Chris Vallotton. Call or go online now to share a gift and request these powerful resources on the prophetic and how the Lord is leading you to impact your community. Call 800-339-1601 or share your gift online when you visit tbn.org/prophecy.
The Lord spoke to me really strongly that I want you to do at coding school, and I'll take care of the job if you follow through. After Bethel Tech, I got the call to come out here to the Bay Area and start my apprenticeship with IBM. And the Lord wants to do what he did with Daniel. He wants to put his kids that carry his spirit into the most influential places in the world.